There's no verse today, specifically, because these have been some thematic classes related to the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, which is tomorrow, and that appearance day class will be given by Chandramouli Maharaj. Yes. So some of the classes you've had, how many classes have you had so far on? Two. What was the first one about? What was the second one about? It's early still, isn't it? Sorry? The appearance of all, okay, all the Rakshasas. Qualities of Lord Rama. Okay. And tomorrow, I would imagine, would be the appearance of Ram, perhaps. I was thinking to just take the subject from a different angle altogether, possibly. Because this morning I never had time to read the Ramayana. Shruti Prabhu said how many verses yesterday. He was made an announcement, 24,000, and I thought, it's not going to happen. So, you know, because we're a Gaudiya Parampara, we are the followers of Chaitanya Dev. And reflecting on Prabhupada, Gauravani Prachayane, his whole thing, and even mentioned, we invoke his presence and we invoke our honor of his presence every day, giving respect to the fact that Gauravani Prachayane, he was a Gauravani Pracharak. It meant that he taught the theology. He lived the life and taught the theology of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very specific type of faith. In one sense, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave meaning to everything that came before him and everything that came after. When we read the philosophy or theology of ancient India, the Vedas, if anybody's made a start on that yet, the Upanishads, the Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, all of these sacred literatures, when we approach them, we approach them through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he taught, as he lived, as he experienced, as he taught everyone, then we approach the whole subject as he taught the subject, as he experienced, he lived, and he taught. Obviously for us, we accept him as Krishna himself, Ram himself, Nisringa himself, Varaha himself. All of the avatars were all present within Chaitanya Dev. So it's important that when we read ancient texts, we kind of, should I say, we read them in respect of or as interpreted by or presented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he concluded things with his Achinja Beda Ved theology, and with regards to reconciliation of everything in Krishna and devotion to Krishna, then we approach all of that with that in our minds as the ultimate truth or ultimate prayojan. So we have to treat all our studies and all of our approach to various historical or ancient literatures in light of where the conclusions he presented just 500 years ago. In light of his teachings, We don't approach such texts in isolation. We don't just like pick up the Shiv Puran or the Brahma Vaivarta Puran or the Rig Veda and live by their message in isolation from all other scriptures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and principally his immediate followers, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the six Goswamis, they brought all of these literatures together in the huge library and drew out from everything the very thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking and gave it, in that sense, the textual authenticity, perhaps, that was required for people who weren't there living and experiencing a life of devotion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Navadvipa and in Puri. So, therefore, I was thinking that even, this may get clearer as I progress the subject, I think. As we approach, so don't get worried just yet. So even in our approach to Ram, even our approach to, I mean, we'll say, isn't it, the Valmiki Ramayana is the Ramayana. Even though the Ramcharitmanas and other texts are absolutely beautiful, poetic, devotional literatures. But when it comes to, you know, well, what's the authority on Ram? You know, it's like Valmiki, finished. You quote beyond Valmiki, you are in, what would you say, very sensitive ground. If you quote from anywhere, because Prabhupada said Valmiki, that's it. So I know there's lots of other nice. Once I remember I did a Ram Leela drama with the Gurukul boys of Vrindavan. And we did it in a Gaudiya Math temple at that time in Vrindavan. All the temples, we would be invited out for prasad to all the temples, the whole Gurukula. So sometimes we'd go to one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who was famous for his, Prabhupada said, for his, the cooking and the service of prasad. So his disciples should learn from this. One of the Puri used to learn from him. We used to go there for prasad and dine. And then another occasion we went to perform a drama. And so we just kind of lifted a script from, I think it was probably one of the Bhaktivedanta player scripts. And it had some additional, you know, it had some embellishment. You know, Hanuman singing and all the Rakshasas starting to join in and etc., etc. But as the senior Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis who were sitting there began to see this play out, then their delight started to turn to a kind of sternness, a kind of intolerant sternness. And I was, you know, because when you're the director of a drama, I used to do it quite a lot in Vrindavan. The most intense moment for me in my life, I think, was I did a drama of Aristasura and his Radha Krishna, and all the boys were gopis. It was, and it was, everybody thought it was so good, they all recommended it when Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to Vrindavan that we should put on another performance, which we did. And he sat me next to him while he watched it. That was in a most intense moment of my career in drama. I gave it up after that. As you know, he was very particular about these things. So anyway, they became more stern at the end of it. They said, why did you introduce all these other things? And it was quite daunting for me. I thought, well, I won't do that again. So with regards to Ram, it's Valmiki. If there's other things at other places and so many other shastras and so many other texts, etc., that's well and good. You take great risk quoting them or performing them in theatre amongst the Gaudiya audience. They're very particular about these things. So anyway, the point I'm making is just that the approaching, this even in approaching Valmiki's Ramayana, not in isolation, that I should dedicate my life to this. Everything has to be approached considering the presentation, the life and the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what I wanted to do, or present a little of today, was just a clear, perhaps, reminder of the essential theology, practice, and aspiration in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in Chaitanya Vaishnavism. Clear, uncompromised, that's what it is. Then I thought to have a little look at, considering this, the context of this subject, to have a little look at Ram, devotion to Ram, or anything about Ram, as it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because for us, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the final word, you know, in Chaitanya's life and teachings of Kaviraj Goswami. So I thought, putting everything else aside, just to consider the subject of devotion to Ram in light of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because it's a medieval devotional bhakti text. So, I thought, then, considering that, then read all the other texts, look at all the other texts, consider all the other texts. And they'll find their position in relation to that truth or revelation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know where it will conclude. Maybe I'll leave you to conclude on this subject. But I'll just cover the material to some degree and say something with regards to that. First of all, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. I think from our very early days in Krishna consciousness, the first verses that we memorize, Eti Chamsa Kala Pungshan, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, everything's there. Amsa, Kala, all parts of parts, expansions, so many things are there, unlimited. But everything comes to conclude in Krishna himself. And Krishna himself is the origin of all things. I think on these two points, origin, there's one point, origin. We accept Krishna as supreme, personality of Godhead. However, with regards to all others, we consider equal. Siddhantitas Tavedepi, Shri Shri Krishna Sarupaya. Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Siddhantitas Tavedepi, Shri Shri Krishna Sarupaya. That in truth, in Siddhanta, in Tattva, all manifestations of divinity are all Bhagavat Tattva. Ram, Nisringa, Varaha, Krishna, all equal. They are all equal in Tattva, in truth. Srisha Krishna Sarupaya. Rasanut Kritsate Krishnam. Rupam Esha Rasasti Tihi. However, from the point of view of Rasa, from the point of view of devotion, or Krishna's the delight of devotion, from the point of view of qualities, in loving reciprocations, and the point of view of rasa, Krishna is supreme. Because he's rasa stitihi. He's the very emanating source of all rasa, in entirety. Often the verses quoted in support of this is the Malla Anam Masanir Ninam Naravarastri Nam Smaramurtiman. A very big long verse which describes Krishna entering the wrestling arena of Kamsa. And when he enters, the wrestlers, they see him in one particular way. Asini, they see him as lightning. All the men see him as Naravara. He's the supermost gentleman amongst everybody. The gopis, they see him as the embodiment of Kamadev. The families see him as family. The atheists see him as the punisher. Kamsa sees him as the death personified. The yogis see him as the antaryami. The gyanis, they see him as the Birat Rup. His very own kith and kin, they see him as their child. So everybody who's surrounding the entire arena was seeing Krishna and experiencing Krishna in every way. Every specific loving relationship or rasa was being fully reciprocated by Krishna himself. Now this is only in Krishna. This is not in any other manifestation of Krishna. It's not possible, isn't it? It's not there. One doesn't approach Nrisimha Dev with the mood of a gopi. He doesn't reciprocate with that type of love. You, like Prahlad, you approach. Maybe Lakshmi, you can approach. But not in this mood of friend. The Sakya, Batsalya. Approaching Nrisimha Dev as a mother. Madhur as a paramour. Also with Ram, he didn't reciprocate. All those sages who wanted to engage with him with the spirit of Madhurya, no. This life, I only have one life, one wife. That's not possible. This is the Maryad. Maryad Purushottam. This is how it is. This one Sita, finished. You all will find your abode of the object of your devotion in Krishna only. So for Gauriyas, this point of Krishna, this absolute supreme origin of everything, but also the abundance of rasa in Krishna, is Akila Rasa Amrita Murti. He is the Murti of Akila Rasa, all rasas. Prasrimara Ruchi Ruddha Tarakapali. Just by his very charm, all the gopis are subjugated. And Radha Priyan Vidur Jayati, specifically for Gauriyas, the ultimate form is Radha Priyan. The ultimate, what do you call it? Bishai Alamban, the object of love, the ultimate object of love in the Gauriya line is Radha Priyan Vidur Jayati. Not even just Krishna on his own, but when he is pleasing to Radha, Radha Priyan Vidur Jayati, then he's all glorious. He's like that full, beautiful moon of the spring. That's the full manifestation. Radha Priyan Vidur Jayati. So in all of our altars, you see Krishna, next to Krishna, Radha. If Radha is pleased, we're all satisfied. Radha Priyan. This is the ultimate Bishai Alamban, object of love of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, the first time, well, when he was traveling to Vrindavan, he stopped in Prayag. And in Prayag, he went to the home of Vallabhacharya. And in the home of Vallabhacharya, after he took prasad and everything, there was one devotee came to see him. His name was Raghupati Upadhyaya. He was a Brahmin scholar. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having some discourse with him, a chat with him, then he said a very beautiful verse, which Mahaprabhu was asking him the ultimate form of devotion, the ultimate object of devotion. And Raghupati Upadhyaya said to Mahaprabhu, Shamam Rupa Param Eva, that the supreme form of Godhead is Shamasundar. Supreme form of Godhead, Shamasundar. Shama Rupai Param Evam. Puri Madhu Puri Bara. The supreme ultimate place is Mathura Puri, meaning Mathura district, not just Mathura. The whole thing, Braja, Govardhan, every place in Mathura. Puri Madhu Puri Bara. This is the supreme place. Baya Kaishorikam, most beatific age of Krishna is Kaishorakam, his youth. And of all ways of engaging with him, Adyo Eva Pararasa is the conjugal mood. That mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. That very pronounced love. He presented very succinctly the supreme Bishaya Alamba, the supreme object of devotion for Gaudiya Vaishnavas is this form. So many forms are there. But the ultimate form of their meditation and Gaudiya Vaishnavism is this form. Krishna in his youth in Vrindavan within the specific rasa of Ujjala rasa, Madhurya rasa, of such devotion. The ultimate object. So, though everyone's equal, though he's the origin, what makes Krishna supreme for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the manifestation of rasa that's present within him. Origin and the manifestation of rasa. The supreme object of devotion of all Gaudiyas. Then, the very type of devotion differs from every other school of devotion. In the sense that it's this Rag Marg Bhakti Loki Kuriti Pracharan. Isn't it? Kaviraj Goswami presents in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna speaking, Aisharya Gyanati Shabha, that everyone in the world, their devotion is Aishwarya Sitala Prema. Their prema or their love is weakened by the character of Aishwarya. Aishwarya means this sense of the admiration, the veneration, the awe and the fear of God. So as everybody approaches with their devotion in this world, Krishna is saying, Aishwarya Gyanati Sabha. People of this world, their devotion is Sitala. It's weakened by this sense of the greatness of Bhagawan, Parameshwar. Nahi mori prita. He said, therefore I'm not satisfied with this devotion. Therefore, prem ras nir yas kariti yashadan raga marg bhakti loki kariti pracharan. Specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great contribution was, he came to teach this type of devotion which was not becoming inferior by its being mixed with the sense of awe and reverence of God. It was based upon the sweetness, the charm, and the beauty of God, of Krishna. So this, I know obviously there's a whole road through Vaidhi Bhakti to ultimately coming to this very intimate and familiar devotion with Krishna. Very deep, affectionate relationship with Krishna of a friend, of a parent, or of a lover. But that was a specific contribution. That was a specific revelation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to share. The very basis of his coming. That was the point of emphasis. So many types of devotion are there, nahimura prita, but they don't please me. In the way of such the affectionate devotion. So therefore, the marg, or the very basis of that engagement, Krishna smaram janam chasya preshta nija samahitam, we therefore just dedicate ourselves to thinking of Krishna. Nija samahitam. And somebody who is very, very dear to Krishna becomes, who's serving him in that, with that level of intuitive devotion, they become our idol. Then we patter our devotion based upon their devotion. Tat tat katara tas chaso. How they serve, what's their behavior, what's their relationship with Krishna, becomes a subject of our meditation. Tat tat katara tas chaso. Hearing about that, meditating on that, continuously becomes the activity of such a devotee. Kuryad eva vasam braje. And living in the landscape of Braja. Vrindavan. So, just essentially, the simple point that I'm trying to make is that in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there's a destination. There's an ultimate object of worship, which is Akila Rasamrita Murti Krishna. There's an ultimate abhideya or practice, which is lead from Vaidhi to Raganuga, the very affectionate devotion. And that, the landscape that one needs to reside in mentally, physically, in whichever way, in order to culture that devotion is Brija. Vrindavan. Because outside of there, everything is Aishwarya Gyan. Isn't it? inside of Vrindavan, it's not. It's Keval Prem. So, for instance, when someone may ask the gopis, as they did, why is Krishna so black? They say, because from young his mother fed him the milk from a black cow. And then he became, and that way they even criticize him. It's a land of such familiarity that it's shocking. The familiarity and affectionate relationships of Vrindavan are quite daunting in consideration of them. To be Krishna's friend, you have to consider yourself to be equal or more. Who approaches God in the church, in the synagogue, in the masjid, thinking they are more or equal, they are equal to or more than God? But in terms of these three higher asas, if you could say the lower one, that's the starting point. Such familiarity and affection, the love of a friend, the love of a parent, the love of a paramour. This is only possible in Vrindavan. So therefore, tistan braje tadanuragi jananugami. The instruction of the Rupa, live in Vrindavan. Follow the people of Vrindavan, jananugami. Follow the people, model your devotion on their devotion. This is the Gaudiya theology on spiritual life, if you want to call it that. Now, how did these people, where does Ram fit in to the lives, the practice, and the ultimate aspiration of these people, the Gaudiyas? That's what I was reflecting on. How is it all, does everybody just become Ram Bhaktas for the day? And then the rest of the time, even before the Ram Katha class, we're saying Jai Radha Madhavi. Our lives are completely permeated with Radha and Krishna. Completely. So how does all this play out? I was thinking, how does all this play out in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because this is the Siddhanta. This is what Mahaprabhu lived, taught, what his immediate followers lived and taught. This was it. That's what we do. How does the whole subject of Ram, devotion to Ram, Ram Katha, Ramayan, all of these things, how did they play out? Or what was, perhaps you would say, what was the Gaudiya Vaishnava treatment of these things? So therefore, looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life in the biography of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then there is, obviously, plenty of mention of this subject. And so I just wanted to just, bearing in mind the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, the Sambandha Abhidhim Prayojan of that, then now considering how Ram Lila, Ram devotion fits in with all of that, based upon what's covered in that text. I thought that would be an interesting way of looking at it. So first of all, in a general sense, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? When he went to South India, it said he was continuously chanting a specific prayer. Do you remember what that prayer was? Krishna, 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 hey. Then, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Pahimam means? Take care of me. Krishna Keshava, take care of me. You care for me. Then, although Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. And Rakshamam means? Protect me. Care for me, protect me, maintain me, protect me. Our two biggest concerns in life. How will I be maintained? Will I be safe? Isn't it? How will I manage? Krishna will maintain me. Krishna will protect me. I think we all know the rigors of that life. It's easy said, quoted almost cliche fashion. Living it, isn't it? It can be quite turbulent. But still, we have that faith. Now, considering the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava slant, I mean, Sometimes, like for instance, when Prabhupada writes in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita about a situation that arose where people were questioning, well, what does Ram in the Maha Mantra mean? Does it refer to Balaram? Or does it refer to, what was it? I don't think it was Ramachandra. Maybe it was Ramachandra. Huh? I think in this specific case it may have been Lord Ram. Is it Balaram or Ram? Is it Ramachandra in this case? And so, these things come up. People ask these questions. Interestingly, in one interpretation, he'll say, Rama specifically, I read this in Chaitanya Bhagavat in the purport of Bhaktisiddhanta. Rama specifically means he who gives delight to Krishna. So obviously that's a nice meditation, isn't it? Rama. Balaram is Krishna's older brother. He gave so much pleasure and delight to Krishna. Then in this case, Rama. Is it Rama or is it Rama? Probably. It doesn't matter. You know, whatever your nishta is, it's Rama or Rama. It's not, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that, duality in that thing. Fine, it's Rama or it's Rama, etc. Rama can also mean, as he was saying, Radharaman, like that. So, but in Rama Raghava, Raghava, you can't really, even if you say, oh, Rama, it just means, you know, it's a name for Krishna, ultimately. So I'm just saying, but no, in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's singing, as he was wondering, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. You know, obviously, with the name of, mentioning of Raghava, is Ram. It's Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra. In another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it's mentioned that Hari Das Thakur is glorifying the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, how will people, you know, in the Kali Yuga, the Yavanas, it's people who are not practicing Hari Bhakti. Even at that time, already the names like, Mahaprabhu was even using the word Hindus, the Yavanas, it was kind of like Hindus and Yavanas, that was the division of things. And so, he was saying, how will they all take to Krishna consciousness? This is giving me tremendous anxiety, isn't it? And what did Hari Das Thakur say to him? He said, don't worry for that. Because even when they have a problem, they're all chanting, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, Ha Rama. It's like a word that means terrible, terrible for the people. And he's saying, and in that, they're saying the name of Ram. Ha Rama, this is Namabhas, this is Sanket. They don't mean Ram, but they just, but because it's the very name in itself, it's Namabhasa. Which means by even chanting that, you can get mukti. It's still extremely powerful. In the word-for-word translations, when it says Rama, it says Lord Ramachandra. In the translation, it says Lord Ramachandra. But in the verse itself, it just says Rama, Harama, Rama, Rama. It's the name of Krishna. So, but however, I mean, you could talk our way out of that one, perhaps. But with regards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava. No doubt that's Lord Ramachandra. No doubt it's Lord Ramachandra. So in a general sense, he sang the names of Ram. Then he celebrated the Ram Bijay Dasami. He told Sanatan Goswami to write the detail on how people would respect, like Diwali, Ram Nomi, Ram Bijay Dasami, how these occasions should be honored. There's a story of, on one Ram Vijay Dasami, all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all started to behave like monkeys. And he took like Hanuman himself, and he uprooted a tree or something and started to attack Lanka. So not only did they celebrate the festivals, but they really kind of lost themselves in the whole spirit of Ram, Ramchandra, and monkey warriors and all of those things. So, and recitation of the name and celebrating the festivals, also in visiting temples. If you read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, it's just like it's like a list of things he literally did with occasional little stories in between. So if you make it through all those chapters on that, the Madhya Lila, then every second temple he's visiting is a temple of Ram, a temple of Ram. He visits another temple of Ram. He visits another temple of Ram. He paid his respects at another temple of Ram. So, reciting the name, celebrating the festivities, and visiting the places of worship. Also, devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is most pronouncedly known, Murari Gupta, Mahaprabhu said to him, you're an incarnation of Hanuman. Also, Purandar, what was his name? Another devotee was considered to be Angada. In the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in two places he gives reference also to Ram. One place where he's speaking about the order, Sarvabhauma speaking about the order of the spiritual master and its importance. So in there, when it's at a point where Govinda, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, when he arrives in Jagannath Puri, then at that time, he comes with a message that Ishwara Puri, after he passed away, he told Govinda, because Govinda was Ishwara Puri's servant, he told him, now you go and take care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Govinda came to Jagannath Puri, and when he came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there. And he said, you know, I've been given, he paid his obeisances with tremendous respect, and he said, I've been given the orders of Ishwara Puri to come and to serve you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, how could Ishwara Puri send a sudra to serve you? Or expect you to accept the service of a sudra? Now that was quite a stark statement, and something quite perhaps obvious of the social culture at the time, of its corruption. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rectified him on that point and spoke about devotion, devotees of Krishna, etc., and that Krishna doesn't discriminate in any way based upon someone's inherent social status. But then, after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings up a doubt. And he said, how can the servant of my spiritual master serve me? And at that point then, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya referred to Ramayana, or the teachings of Ramayana. He said that the orders of great personalities like your father, your guru, etc., they must be followed. That's what's important. And then he said, just as Parashuram received the order, was it Parashuram received the order of his father or someone to kill his mother, his brother, his family, you know, then he got on with that. So he said that when Lakshman considered that, he dedicated his life entirely to the service of his big brother, Ram. So in order to, emphasize the point of the importance, that the seriousness that should be given to the instructions of the spiritual master, then Sarvabhauma gave reference to the teachings of Ramayana, or of Ram. In another place, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about prapanna, or self-surrender, either to Sanatana or to Rupa Goswami, then specifically he gives reference also there to the teaching, a teaching from the Ramayana, of just the statement of, you know, when somebody states, from this day, I am yours, then from that moment the Lord takes complete responsibility for him. So with reference to Ram, that was also. So recitations of names, participation in festivals, visiting temples, his associates, some of them were people from the Leela of Ram, and in the teachings he referred there, not often, but certainly on those occasions, with regards to things related to Ramayana. Of course, we know Nityananda Prabhu exhaustively played the dramas of Ram when he was a child, but that's more, Chaitanya Bhagavat elaborates on that extensively. Not Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe just gives mention to it. And as this is just focused on Chaitanya Charitamrita's presentation, then I wouldn't go into that subject. So, general names, temples, devotees, teachings. In that way, there is some reference to Ram, Ramayana, Ram's teachings, etc. The next thing I wanted to just go on to, if that's okay, was this element of persuasiveness of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It seems that they didn't give Ram Bhaktas an easy time. quite often there's a thing, I mean, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, referring to a statement of Bhaktisiddhanta in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in a place there, he mentions in a purport, some people chant, you know, Sitaram, other people chant Radha Krishna or whatever like that. He said, and this goes on like this. And sometimes specifically, devotees of Krishna chant this to test the nishtha, or the faith of such followers of Sitaram, to test their faith. It's a kind of put their faith to the test. Well, perhaps, obviously they assume some level of privilege in doing that, or perhaps it's just their excitement in life about devotion to Krishna. But there definitely is clearly narrated in various pastimes of how followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were always very persuasive. I think the primary example of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we could probably just start right there, with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was his friend from childhood. We have the Adi Lila, or the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu, based upon the diaries of Murari Gupta. Completely. Murari Gupta used to go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri every year. Extremely close. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always overwhelmed in respect and appreciation of Murari Gupta. When Murari Gupta came to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit him right beside himself and clean his body with his own hands. It said as Ram had such affection for Hanuman, Chaitanya had such affection for Murari Gupta. Obviously, he was Hanuman. With Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expressed to him in the forefront of everybody else, before everybody else, about the overwhelming symptoms of prema that were starting to take over his life when he returned from seeing the feet of Vishnu, Gaya. It was to Murari Gupta he manifested his form as Varaha, with hooves and everything, and said to Murari Gupta, "Now praise me, offer prayers. Murari Gupta was like, "I don't know what to say. I mean, this is just overwhelming." And he's saying, like, "Say some prayers, you know, say something, do something." He manifests himself as Varaha. Then obviously he manifests himself as Sad Buj on different occasions, where he had the arms of Ram and stuff like that. But I think most particularly in the Mahaprakash Lila, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing himself in different ways to all the different devotees, when he called Murari forward, then he completely manifests himself as Ram. And with Sita, Lakshman, it is just the whole manifestation of Ram before Murari. And he's shouting to Murari, "Take a benediction, take a benediction, take a benediction." Murari's like, "You know, I just want to always sing your names, you know, I just want to serve you forever, I just want to..." So like that, he reciprocated, he manifests himself as Ram for Murari. Now, Murari was a staunch Ram Bhakta. Amidst this, I mean, I remember years ago, there was one devotee who joined the manor, and he was like a staunch Ram Bhakta. The day he joined, he was a Ram Bhakta. The day he lived here, he was a Ram Bhakta. And he was such a Ram Bhakta. It was just troubling. I think he is still such a Ram Bhakta. But it was difficult, you know. Every conversation was interrupted by stories of Ram or devotion to Ram. And it was a specific, we are cultivating this other kind of Krishna, the charm, the beauty, and all that stuff. And this is Ram. So, anyway. But, you know, this very close and intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta, I mean, so close, is a complete out-and-out Ram Bhakta. But even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to persuade him. As he once during the chapter called Beda Kirtans, when they would have all these kirtans in Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying him. And he said, on an occasion with Murari, I mean, I spent time to speak to him about the beautiful character qualities of Krishna. You know, for me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, for me, it's Krishna. There's nothing else. Nothing else for me. Nothing compares. And so I was persuading Murari like this. Murari was under extreme pressure at such a time. And then it said he went away and he cried the whole night. He couldn't sleep. He cried the whole night. He prayed the whole night. He prayed that he would die that night because he could not. Such a the instruction of the spiritual master we just heard earlier. He couldn't oppose Chaitanya. He couldn't. He prayed that death would come and take him that night, but he couldn't abandon his love and service of Ram. So then he came to Mahaprabhu following that. And he asked, he actually said that, he said to Mahaprabhu, I'm praying that I could, that I'll die before you. And it will all be clear, something like that I'll die before you. I pray for that. He said, you know, I'm literally on the point of death considering giving up the service of Ram. Then he said, I sold my head at the feet of Ram. No matter what, I cannot abandon him and I cannot break your order either. And then Mahaprabhu just let him free. He let him free at that point. And he just said that you're Dridha Bhajan. This is Dridha Bhakti. This is he had to go through, obviously, all of that persuasive treatment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pressure. And then Mahaprabhu reckoned, this is Dridha Bhajan. He emphasized him like that. Such devotion. On another occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote Ram Das on his head, across his forehead. So Murari was a pronounced devotee of Ram in the very close association. But he was under pressure from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he didn't respond to the pressure, then he was respected more in that company. The same situation happened with another Ram Bhakta in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anupam, the younger brother of Rupan Sanatan. Anupam died as Sanatan was taking him to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So when Sanatan arrived there, he was explaining to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that that Anupam, or Balab as he was originally known, he had passed away. He said Anupam from his childhood only chanted the names of Ram continuously. He recited the names of Ram. He was a real devotee of Ram his whole life. He said, Rupa and myself, we tried to convince him otherwise. Same situation. We tried to convince him to chant the name of Krishna. We tried to convince him, you know, to think about the beauty and incomparable beauty in this specific type of devotion which is only there in relation to Krishna, the Madhurya. He also was devastated. He also prayed to them, please, you know, you're my older brothers. I should follow you entirely. But I cannot. I've dedicated my life and my soul to Ram. I'd rather die than give up his devotion. And Chaitanya responded to Sanatana at that time and he said, same situation with Murari. He said it was like that. Same situation. And then he spoke one verse. Sei bhakta danya jay nachadi prabhu charan. He said, such a wealth is in that devotee, Nachadi Prabhu Charan, who never leaves the feet of their master. Say, Prabhu Danyajay, such wealth is there in Prabhu, the Guru or the God, who Nachadi Nija Jani, never leaves, never gives up, never abandons his servant. He said, this is Dridha Bhakti. Again, the first time, Dridha Bhajan, the same thing. Then he's Dridha Bhakti. So there was this, almost it's like a social pressure being amongst Krishna enthusiasts where there, even somebody's exhibiting devotion to Ram, they'll push them towards the charm of Krishna. They'll push them towards the specific temperament of devotion, which is to Krishna. But where they do not relinquish their devotion to Ram or whatever, and that type of devotion, then they gain more respect in the community. That's just how it was played out here. With regards the name of Krishna, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, isn't it? He went for lunch with a Brahmin who was only chanting the name of Ram continuously. Continuously chanting the names of Ram. Outside of that, he wouldn't speak a word. And he served prasad to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu then went somewhere else, and when he came back, the Brahmin was only chanting the name of Krishna and saying nothing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like, what's the position now? What's your position now? And he said, you know, I've studied so many of the Shastras with regards to the names of God. And then it's that series of verses which you probably memorized, the Ramante Yogino Nante verse about why Brahma or God is called Ram. Satyanande Chidatmani. Iti Rama Padaneshu. He's Ram because the yogis take the utmost delight in any contact with Brahman. So he's Ram. The name of Param Brahma is Ram. He's delighting the hearts of all those who are great spiritualists. Then he said, the name of Ram. Then he said, Krishna, Krishir Bhu Bhachaka Shabda. That this Krishna means that Krishna is Bhu Nivritir. Means he's his very existence is the source of all ecstasy. Therefore, Brahma is called Krishna. But then he goes on to this kind of hierarchical thing about names. Rama Ramati Rameti Rami Rami Manorami Sahasranama Bistulyam Ramanama Varanani. He refers to Shiva teaching Parvati. That 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram. And then he goes on to another verse he quotes. Sahasranam Nam Punya Ram Tira Vittita Yatama. That 1,000 names. This is where I get confused in the math of this. Sahasranamnam punyanam. Tira vrityatu yat. Oh, when you, what's the math there? Recite the Vishnu Sahasranam. How many times? Three times. Tira vrityatu yapumam. It's equal, eka vrityatu krishnasya. It's equal to one pronunciation of the name Krishna. So therefore, one name of Krishna is equal to three names of, which is equal to, you get the idea. He said, I knew that, but still I chanted Ram's name. But after I met you, after you dined in my home, I didn't even say the name Ram anymore. Only the name of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, danced and left. He didn't go, wait a minute, let's correct that. He just took it, moved on. So, and he was, maybe you'd say in Christian terminology, he was a convert in some way. Then, who else was there? Maya and Haridas. When Maya came before Haridas and tried to distract him from his bhakti, then in conclusion, when she was converted, she specifically stated, before Shiva gave me the name of Ram, but I've come to realize that the name of Ram can only give you moksha. So I specifically now chant like you the name of Krishna, which gives you prema. And Haridas was pleased on her, she was pleased, and off she went chanting Krishna's name. Now, I think in these references to the name of Rama, it's not referring to the name Rama as it's related to Krishna, but Rama as it's related to Rama. So, again, another situation of where somebody abandons the name of Ram and focuses on the name of Krishna. Just to finish, two other places where devotion to Ram is spoken of in Chaitanya. Sorry, this has been a bit laborious, this class. In relation to devotion to Ram, two examples. One accepted by Chaitanya, one completely rejected. And I'll conclude on this. When he was in South India, he went to take prasad with another Brahmin. When he came back from his bath in the river, nothing was prepared. He said to the Brahmin, "What happened? How come there's nothing being cooked and offered or anything?" And he said, the Brahmin said, it's not easy when you live in the forest. Whatever Lakshman brings, Sita will cook, and then we'll eat. And Shemaru thought, wow, that's remarkable. I mean, he's just like in Ram Leela. Completely, he's in Ram Leela. The life is difficult in the forest. Whatever Lakshman brings, Sita will cook, we'll eat. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, okay, he took the prasad. And after he took the prasad, then he saw the Brahmins tearful and crying and fasting. He says, is there some problem? What's happening? And the Brahmin says, I don't know, Ravan took Sita. I can't imagine in my mind Sita being with Ravana. The very thought of it, that Ravana touched Sita, is devastating me. I can't eat. I'm going to die. And Jama said, no, don't. Don't worry for that. He never took Sita. He took Durga, whatever. He took some other, Sita gave a material form. Ravana, Sita's, and she's completely pure, spiritual, never touched by Ravana. Eat your food. So, he pacified that Brahmin. This is a mysticism, isn't it? This type of devotion. It's a mystical, this person's completely, mad with it. So, anyway, then, as you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes away and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes across a text. And he reads the very thing he said there in that text. And he was so, took it so seriously, he took that back and he gave it to the Brahmin, said, "Now you can eat every day, It's here in the Shastra also." And pacified him. Mahaprabhu never challenged him. He never forced the beauty of Krishna on him. Never told him to chant Krishna's name. He honored and respected that. But there was another person. That was Ramdas Vipra. There was a Ramdas Vishwas. And Ramdas Vishwas was another person who he met. Raghunath Bhatta. As Raghunath Bhatta was traveling to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, then this Ramdas Vishwas took the bags of Raghunath Bhatta, he was young, put them on his head and carried them to Puri. And then he would do continuously the service of to a point where it was embarrassing Raghunath Bhatta. He was giving massage to his legs and doing everything for him. He said, "No, this is what I do, I serve you. You're a Vaishnava. You're superior to me in every regard. This is the mission of my life, to serve you, etc." He's a great devotee of Ram. Always he was chanting the names of Ram continuously. But when he arrived in Puri, Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Raghunath Bhatta. But when Ram Das Vishwas came before him, Mahaprabhu never gave him any attention whatsoever. Didn't even give him an acknowledgement. So it was explained there that Ram Das Vishwas was surely a Ram Bhakta, but his whole purpose was moksha. His whole purpose was to be liberated from life and to attain Brahman. And that the devotion to Ram was his means to that. He was rejected completely. So those are two examples of devotion to Ram. One unquestioned, another one rejected. And that's literally the treatment of anything to do with Ram, Ram Lula, Ram devotion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And perhaps from that we can surmise. Now, considering in the first part of the class, I just really tried to focus in an essential way upon what our lives are about in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The object of worship, the form of worship, the mindset, the temperament, it's of a specific thing, the absolute deity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And then looking at how Ram Lila is spoken about, or devotion to Ram is spoken about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, reflecting on that in relation. So, in the general ways, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas chanted the names of Ram, would visit, Chaitanya visited the temples of Ram, celebrated the occasions of Ram, instructed Sanatana Goswami to codify how such occasions should be celebrated. When teaching, gave reference to Ram. In their lifestyle, they try to persuade people who are Ram Bhaktas to the devotion of Krishna. When Ram Bhaktas never gave up on their devotion, they were more respected in the community. Ram Bhakta Murari was one of the most closest intimate followers, eternally associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anupam could not be persuaded otherwise. He gained more respect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With regards to the names, there was no compromise. The name of Krishna was preferenced. Nothing else was said. It was accepted that it was preferenced. And then, you know, great devotion to Ram, even to an esoteric level, was tremendously honored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But where such devotion served the end of something else or Brahman realization, then it was completely rejected. So, maybe to conclude in a sentence, you must be able to do this, huh? You couldn't even say the core of Gaudiya Vaishnavas because Murari was within the core. The predominating culture and aspiration amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the devotion to Radha Krishna. That's their whole, an attainment of love for them is their ultimate objective, uncompromised in every way. They won't compromise on it. But within their company, there's phenomenal Ram Bhaktas who are able to live and appreciated and honored, and they engage in all the various festivities and matters related to Ram. But the predominant and pronounced mood and mentality in the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as was stated in the beginning. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Sorry for that. That was a bit of unraveling, but I thought it would be an interesting meditation. Is there any comments or questions?